These next few episodes are about getting the voice of the candidates for our board of directors out to the membership, because most people are more than what their resume is. And so we want to explore a little bit deeper with each one of our candidates and what they set out and are aspiring to do if elected to the board. And I think one of the most important things for membership is to remember that every one of us has the right to vote, and there's several ways that we're going to do that. So we need to understand as membership that every one of us is going to get a ballot without any request in one of two ways. If you have an email address on file at the association office, you're going to automatically receive an electronic ballot. If you don't have an email on file, you're going to receive a paper ballot. So for those of you getting electronic ballots, those are being sent out March 3rd. And again, that's via email. And those of you with paper ballots, those are going to be sent out March 7th. But remember, those will be postmarked March 7th. So it could take a little while to get to you. Paper ballots have to be postmarked by March or by April 1st. If you miss that deadline and are going to be at the Clyde sale, there are going to be kiosks available at the Clyde sale for anyone who needs them to be able to cast your ballot. So there's three different opportunities for you to be able to cast your ballot, but we want to get in and dive in to understand what each one of our candidates thinks that they're going to bring to our board of directors. And with that, our first candidate up is Mr. Cale Groat, my co-host, who has not seen the interview questions, and we wanted him to go first to keep everything on a level playing field because we are all about honesty and transparency. And so this is how we're going to kick this off. He gets to go first, and I love it because he has no idea what I'm going to ask him. But my first question, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background because I'm not a super mean recruiter.
I grew up in northeastern Wisconsin. My family and I own and operate Briarwood Clydesdales. We have a couple foals usually every year. Just maybe show a couple halter horses and maybe a cart horse every year. I've been involved in the association since '96, and have been a part of the membership committee, the Clydesdale committee, and the Clydesdale Education Foundation for over 10 years. And I'm currently the sitting president of the Education Foundation. Have a deep love for the breed of horses, and unfortunately, the Clydesdale horse is my drug of choice. So I'm kind of addicted to it. It's turned out to be my life, and I always say every day I live my life for animals. So not a great healthy life I live, but I truly enjoy it and the people in it.
Well, with all the information out there about emotional support animals, I think you probably picked the right drug of choice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Just to clarify, I think if my memory serves me right, you've been involved like with the Education Foundation pretty much since its inception, correct?
It was started before me, actually. The past president, Greg Bagley, is what
Okay.
actually got me on as a trustee a long time ago. And then I donate the website for it, and I'm kind of do a lot of the social media all for that. And we've tried to kind of get a positive outreach. And we've since done, I've been on there. We've done scholarships. We started the Rose Henderson Memorial Scholarship. She used to be a trustee in the foundation that passed away. And after she passed, I thought it'd be a kind of a cool nod to her, with such a sweet lady with a huge love for the breed, to do a scholarship in her honor. And then we do a lot of grant requests, whether that's kids wanting to go to a different type of outside learning, maybe to learn how to ultrasound or do something like that. But we've really, and that's, I mean, we, it falls within our missions to do both of those, but we've really tried to take those kind of out of the box and allow people to do anything that can help them out with within the Clydesdale horse. So.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say a huge shout out about the Rose Henderson scholarship. I have been lucky enough to be one of the recipients. And honestly, I wouldn't have the job that I have now if it wouldn't have been for that. So I just have to give a huge push to the Education Foundation and some of the impact that it's had just on this one member. And I know there's several others that could say the same thing. But why, with all of the, that you're doing on the Education Foundation, why are you seeking a position on the Clyde? Association Board.
It's from some of the similar reasons we started this podcast. We wanted to get, and I guess I wanted to get the membership's input on things. We like to talk about maybe different issues that are going on, and I think the board has a pure disconnect with their membership right now. I think a lot of them, a lot of the board, for the majority, is on there to maybe run a personal agenda or just kind of come up with things that they think should happen. I think they need to really kind of come back and how to communicate with the membership. And I think a lot of that revolves around why we want to start this podcast, hear what they think, what they like, what they don't like. And as soon as you talk to a lot of board members about what you think about what they're voting on, they get purely defensive. And I think there's a line between business and there's a line between friendship. And the friendship line shouldn't be broke because you disagree maybe on business. So I'm very open to communication. I have a love of business. I have a love of making money. And then I piss it all away in the barn. But I truly think that I can bring maybe a business aspect and open those lines of communication within the membership to let them know what's going on and how they feel about it. I remember 10 years ago, I used to get calls from a lot of people that were on the board and say, "Hey, this is coming down the pipeline. What do you think about it?" And now it seems like by the time the board gets their agenda for their meeting, they're having it the next day or the day of. So they can't reach out to members to see how they feel about certain topics anymore. So part of that's how the meetings run, or the president, and part of that's how the board of directors isn't reaching back out to the people that are voting for
No, and some of it's structural too, like just
them.
having feedback loops in those big decisions. But what unique talent skills do you bring to the board to enhance the effectiveness of the board?
Well, the past 2 years I was on the sale committee. Actually, your brother kind of blackmailed me to be on the sale committee. I was on the sale committee and I handled most of the marketing for it. Now, the first year I was on the sale committee, we sold out the raffle tickets and I think it was 9 days for the first raffle filly. And that was based on, I think we had a good filly from a guy that donated a great filly, and we promoted it in the right way. Constant, like we were hammering down to get it out. And I think I have a marketing background and I'm really passionate about that. So I think I could bring some of that marketing back to it. This year, I think as of the last board recording, they had sold 375 tickets. Part of that is a lot of that is marketing. Still a qualified filly from the same breeder, but they launched two raffles on the same night, one that's not needed to go until October, and the other one that's due in April. And then they've kind of just dropped the ball since then. So I think truly marketing and communication are two of my strengths that I could very much help the board with.
And I think if I remember right with that first raffle that you talked about, I really think the wording was key because I think it said something like a limited amount, or like there's something in the wording that made it sound like if you do not do this now, you might not get another opportunity, which creates a sense of urgency, which only a marketing individual would know.
The headline's got to be "Win a Clydesdale," and then you have to create the demand by saying, "Hey, we've sold 700 the first night. There's only 300 left. Buy them now." And then people jump on it. So, and then fresh content, constantly fresh content, new pictures, different display, make it something different. You know how everyone's mind works nowadays, that if it's they've seen it before, they don't read it again. They've already seen it.
Well, I think the other thing is even understanding the algorithms that go with like Facebook, Instagram, everything. If you're not putting content out there, you're not getting to the top of people's feeds either.
And there's certain nights of the week that hit better,
And
or more,
that
but
is,
you can all go back and figure out what works best for you. So.
Yeah, I think people underestimate social media and the fact that it is an art to really, and a science to really understand how to best utilize that tool. It's a little different than print ads and paper
I
mailings.
think people underestimate it the most because for the most part, it's free.
Free.
But that's something that you should pay the most attention to because you get the most bang for no buck.
Yes. And how many people have a phone, and how many people do you see scrolling on their phone at any point in time as you're walking around? So with all your passions, with all your talents, What are some of the committees that you want to chair, and why would you want to chair them? What are your areas of interest?
I would first off, to me, the marketing and social media committee would be something that would be top of mind for me. And then the membership committee, to me, that's outreach, getting a group of people, a diverse group. And that's what I've always told. I've been on the membership committee in the past, and I've always told the chair of it, I was like, get a kind of diverse group of people, get some you like super young people that are just jumping into it, get some people that, middle-aged people, and then get the older people. I said, because we all have a different way of communication and a different outlook. I said, even on the Education Foundation, we have a very, very, very diverse group of people. And I think it's always key to have a super diverse group. I don't want a bunch of group of people that agree with everything I say. I want a diverse group so we can actually have these a little bit, I guess, conversations, or kind of where you can kind of jab somebody or pin something, and then they kind of punch back. And that's when you actually, when you get those kinds of dialogue, is when you get the best idea, because it gets everybody thinking, like, oh, how do I feel about this? Because so and so is a little bit upset about it. I said, but that's how you get the best ideas. So at the end of the day, you can kind of have these kind of diverse dialogues, but when you settle out at the end of the meeting, it's like, wow, this is an idea that none of us thought of coming into here, but now we come up with it because there was diverse dialogue. So I'm all about a diverse group. So to me, the membership committee, and for sure the advertising and marketing committee, would be something that I would for sure want to be chairing. I've been on the national sale. I wouldn't mind helping with that. And I think it's key for the marketing committee. I think that's got to be almost involved in almost every committee of the association. I think that they need to be integrated in every committee. Because like every committee has something that they should be marketing, whether it's the youth or the versatility, they're all should be pushing something. So I think that marketing position is something that should be almost integrated in every committee and be a part of. And you don't have to speak on it. You can just listen so that at the every end of every meeting, you know what you should be pushing next month or this month on social media or with your email.
No, that's good. So if you could tackle one, if you got on the board and if you could tackle one issue in your first year, what would it be?
The lack of communication from the board of directors to the membership. I think there needs to be more phone calls made. I mean, the people that vote for you at the end of the day, most people will say, hey, I'm gonna vote for you, or I voted for you. Call your constituents, call people that you agree with usually or don't agree with on topics that are coming down on the board. I think the structure of the board meetings needs to change, where that agenda needs to be released a week before the actual board meeting, whether it's a teleconference or actually in person meeting. And that way it gives you time to go back to your constituents and say, hey, this is going to come up for topic. What do you guys think about this? Give me, take it about a week. Here's what's going to, let me know what you think. And I don't think there's any reason that that agenda shouldn't be released to the membership, because
It's
then
kind
you
of
wouldn't
like
know.
public meeting laws, like in Wisconsin, if you're on a school board or anything, those meeting agendas have to be out a week ahead of time so that the public knows if they want to attend.
Yeah, and it's not like you need to have everyone attend, but that it gives the membership time to call the people that they elected to say, hey, I don't like this, or hey, I love this, but why don't you think about doing this? And it opens up that whole line of communication to get, first of all, get members involved, and then get the best outcome, because you're getting all the support and these people are telling you their thoughts and opinions. And then not everyone's going to be like, well, I never heard about this and now I don't like it. It to me, it's so simple. If you can convey your message and it's wide open and transparent to your association what you're doing, there's going to be no issues and no pushback.
Well, and then the other thing with communication is, we have a lot of things co going out, like Facebook, Instagram, websites, this, that. What do we do for the people who just like, okay, I know there's got to be information somewhere. Where does information lie so that people who want to just dig into something, where are they going to find that? Is that the website? Is that where that information is supposed to be?
Are you saying information for
Like
the
if you realize you forgot, like you missed something, and I need to go and see a board meeting, or I want to grab an agenda, or maybe I need to understand transfer, or what was the latest communication, like newsletter that went out? Does all that live on the website? Is that where membership is supposed to go? I'm just seeing an opportunity to kind of enlighten our membership. If they maybe missed something, where would you go to find information about the association and what's happening right now?
I think it should for sure be on the association website. I think a lot of, so I've been asked before they did the new website, I was asked by the chairperson of the marketing and advertising committee what to include on the website. And I said, your biggest thing would be to include a calendar. And that way the calendar would say, okay, your styling reports are due on this day and this and this and this and this and this. And I said the second spot would be to do a blog. So that would be kind of like, okay, this is coming down the pipeline. This is, so it's constant updates of what's going on. This is going on. I said, so that blog too would also be when you put your agenda out for your meeting, that gives an open forum to members only that they could go on there and comment on things like that. So say they didn't feel comfortable calling a board member or emailing a board member, they could post a public forum that would be only for members to communicate their thoughts and opinions on something. I said, and all that's gonna do is draw more to your website. And the more clicks you get to your website, bring you further up on Google. So I mean it's the more controversial stuff you can get on there, not that you're trying to push controversial, but the more people you can draw to your website is gonna build you up tenfold.
Well, I know when we started the podcast, we just didn't put it right out on Spotify. Like you made a big point to build a website, to have everything out there, to have all the information so that there is one spot where you can go find everything you need. And then from there, you can branch off to however you want to listen.
And that was key too to make it user friendly for some people. Like my parents don't know how to get on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, so they can just go to the website and click it. And that's kind of the goal. Make super user friendly so everyone can get to it. Like the current website they have, it looks great, but if you're on your phone or if you're on a smaller tablet, on some of the drop downs, you can't get to the part of the drop down because it actually doesn't scroll on the drop down and your screen's big enough to get to it. So it's not even functional as it is now. We had a sale website that I donated that had over 50,000 views in the first year. It was over 70,000 views by the time of the second year, and they ended it. Now I offered the domain to them, and the marketing advertising committee did nothing with it. So we did ads in Horse Illustrated promoting that website and promoting the sale. And it's just they dropped it. It to me that makes
So
no
it,
sense. I know they don't
yeah.
like me as a person, as some of those people on that board don't like me as a person, but it was not great business to just drop that. If you don't want me to manage the website after I donated it for a year and then charge them $600 the next year to manage it, which is dirt cheap, then at least take the domain that we've promoted. But no, they've gone back to ClydesUSA.com that has everything. But you don't get SEO or search engine optimization on Clyde's USA. That's the Clyde's the Breeders Association. You don't get a sale on that. So on certain things, you have to create your own site, and you can still link them both together. But the search engine optimization is huge. So you just gave all that was done, that was set up, that had over 70,000 views the second year. You just gave that completely up. And to me, that's a fail. Whether in business, you and I, Christy, we work with people we don't like every day of the week.
Oh, several.
And you have to think of what's best for the business. And I think that some of these people on the board are letting their personal issues come down to what's wrong with business. Like, I'll be honest, with the sale, with the World Show, I bid a project for, actually, we're on an All-American call, and I made a comment about the World Show program because I had heard rumor from the board that they're going to spend $20,000 on the World Show program. And I said that on the All-American call, I said, this is off topic, but I said, you need to get quotes for that. Well, there was some pushback on that, but they ended up getting quotes. I submitted a bid, and they got bids from four other people after that. Well, there was a person that bid for $8,000. My bid was a little higher than 8 grand. And I'm super happy that by me questioning that saved them $12,000 because they were going to sign a bid for $20,000 for the World Show program. So I'm not upset that I didn't get it. I'm happy that they saved the money. But more people have to be able to stand up and say, and it's not personal, that's business. Like, I'm super happy we could save the association $12,000.
Yeah, especially when we're in a situation where we need to continue to raise money
Yeah, because
for the
we're
World
kind of
Show.
over
We're not
budget on the
there
World
yet.
Show right now. Yeah.
So,
So,
well, the final question is, why should people vote for you? What are you going to bring that no other candidate's going to bring?
probably an outspoken voice that most people won't want to hear, but I'm very passionate and very strong-willed that if I feel something about something certain about my feelings or what's right in business or what's right in my mind, I will fight for that. And I am not easily backed down and I won't be overspoken. And I will be respectful of everyone else that has a valid opinion. But I will make my opinion heard. And I'll speak for the people. That's why we started this podcast. We wanted to get
Yeah.
everyone's opinion and I'm brassy and wide open, and I really have a terrible, probably, delivery of things, but that's just authentically me. So I'm
Yeah.
not going to apologize for it.
No, I don't expect you to apologize for it either. I personally don't want you to change because I think sometimes the you just need a one courageous voice to get everything back into alignment. So those are the questions that I have. Again, we are going to offer up a podcast spot for each one of our candidates. So everyone who accepts, we will take some time, about the same amount of time, same amount of questions, and we'll be pulling those up for you to get to know all of your candidates. But just wanted to be transparent that we're offering this up to every single candidate. If you don't see a candidate, it's probably because they passed.
Awesome. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.